This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com. Go to Squarespace.com and make that fantastic website you've always wanted. Try their awesome tools out absolutely for free. No credit card required. Just sign up, see what you like, play around with the tools. And if you decide to stick around, use the code INSTANCE11 at checkout. That'll save you 20% off any plan at Squarespace.com. All right, guys, before we begin, a quick bit of information. So this is Scott, and I am back from BlizzCon. Literally, I got off the plane about 38 minutes ago. So I rushed here as fast as I could because I know people are dying for this episode. Some of you saw it live. Some of you just heard about it. Or some of you have no idea why there was no show Friday. But we tried to explain the week before that we were going to be at BlizzCon, and on Saturday we'd get together and do a show. And I have to say right up front and early that it turned out to be maybe one of my favorite things we've ever done. I haven't actually heard the quality of the file, which I'm about to insert into this thing, so I can't vouch for it just yet. I'm just interested in getting it out to you as fast as possible. So I apologize if it's not great. If it's not, well, whatever. We were live. It was hard. There was a huge room full of people. And to a packed house, we did some amazing stuff. I won't even give away the big secret of what happened in the episode that made it pretty much legendary in my mind as far as the show is concerned. I know you're going to like it, though. So please sit back and enjoy it. And big thanks to our sponsors who we weren't able to mention during the episode, but I want to thank, of course, as always, Doghouse Systems. I want to also thank, of course, as always, Typefrag. They're both fantastic. So please give them your help over there at doghousesystems.com. Get a brand new system with double the memory for using the code Henry at checkout. And that'll save you some money on extra RAM. Just don't have to pay for it. That's Doghouse Systems and the code Henry. And then, of course, our friends at Typefrag make the best Ventrilo, Mumble, and other types of servers that you can use for your guild, your group, your friends, or whatever. So go flex raid now and use one of their servers while you do it. That's typefrag.com. All right, you guys, strap in. Two very special guests surprised us. We had no idea they were coming. And when you hear who they are, you might freak out a little. I did anyway. And then one final thing. I just want to say a giant thanks and a shout out to everybody we saw there. Saw so many fans who came up and said hi. So many people that were interested in talking to us, who've listened to the show for years and took pictures and wanted to hang out with us. And that was my favorite thing of the con by far. And this year was just crazy that way. So many of you jumping out of lines, yelling at me from down the hall, showing up in the middle of a hotel elevator, seat next to us on the flight there, like crazy stuff. Hi, Amanda, by the way. So anyway, big thanks to all of you for making this the most amazing BlizzCon I've ever had. And we may have just peaked with this episode. I don't know where we go from here, honestly. And we'll see how it sounds to you guys. I was beside myself. So anyway, strap in, enjoy the Instance BlizzCon 2013 edition.
You are listening to the Instance.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of The Instance. This is The Instance episode number I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what we're on. But it's our live BlizzCon edition of The Instance. We're thrilled to be here. Everybody at home, we missed you, but we're glad you're there, too, and we hope you get something out of today's podcast. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Mr. William Dills Gregory, to my right. Hello, Dills.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, other person.
Oh, hey!
And hello, other person to my right.
Yeah, and on the finishing the dill sandwich, we have...
So good, you guys. It's really good. Should try one.
We have...
We joke about it now, but that is pretty much what's going to happen later.
That's
well,
right. Yeah. It's Mark the Terpster Turpin, everybody.
Hello!
I'm Scott Johnson, and we have a very special setup today that I just found out about literally 5 minutes ago, which is we have a couple of special guests with us. We have Mr. Russell Brower, man in charge of music, is how I like to put it.
Thank you very much.
And perhaps the biggest legend in the room.
Second biggest
legend. Hordeside himself, Mr. Greg Ghostcrawler Street. Welcome to the show.
port side.
Amazing. It's really... It's a thrill to have these guys on, and they are returning guests. If you remember episodes when they were on, and we did some fun Q&A, and I think we'll get to do some of that here. We don't have a throng of PR sort of controlling everything.
No, just one.
One, yeah.
We have one. And you know,
plus,
he's
we can
serious.
Always argue. Quite yeah. a thick accent.
I know.
They could just say, "Oh, I didn't know you said
I
not
didn't
to
know
say
what
it."
Said.
He took off his weird European scarf. That means he means business. So settle in for some good times here. So we're going to talk today about, of course, the show. We've been here at BlizzCon for 2 days. We've seen things. We've played things. And we're going to talk a little bit about the core basics, especially of the WoW stuff. We'll touch on the other stuff as well. And then we're going to throw some time in this episode to asking some questions of our fine guests from both us and some folks in the audience. And for those who perhaps ask good questions, you might win a copy of BlizzCon exclusive StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm soundtrack, Volume 2. Yeah. Or World of Warcraft Mists of Pandaria soundtrack, Volume 2.
Yeah. Sorry, Scott.
Hit that microphone.
My really large microphone is getting that. In your way.
But anyway, big thanks to everybody who's making this possible. Thank you, Todd, by the way, for running the board and being
here. Yes.
We really appreciate
Give
it.
Give it up. Gnome-wise.
And I don't want it to go too far without saying thanks and welcoming the many other podcasters out there. Raise your hand if you make an awesome podcast. Look at this.
Oh, my God.
All this content. Thank you all for being here as well.
So bad.
People behind us as well. It's great. A lot of WoW podcasters and people who make segments for our show and have... There's that mic again.
just
who make... I just
put your hands under the table. Actually, no, don't, actually.
No, keep
them above the table.
Keep them right over here. But above board.
Yeah, we got some exciting things to talk about.
We sure do. We have plenty to talk about. So let's just jump right into it and see what's what. So there were some leaks ahead of the show that... We could neither confirm or deny, so we didn't even talk about them last episode.
We ignored it all.
But the little bits you kind of saw, I got real excited about,
because
I thought, we're going to get an expansion that takes us all back to a time we all, at least a lot of us remember, in the lore of the game, that spans well before many of us were even playing, even Blizzard games, perhaps. And that got me super stoked. So it was nice to get in there and have this reveal and find out that we're getting this hardcore, like, in a way, a risky, and I want to ask Greg about this later, it's a risky kind of move, in my opinion, that I don't think we should be taking lightly. I think it's a good move, but it's a risky one. Because
Why
what
do you think it's risky, though?
Well, here's what I'm saying. So you go from Mists of Pandaria, which arguably it surprised on the other side, which was, hey, pandas. And the first response from everybody was, oh, really? Because that seems... not hardcore, it seems soft, it seems whatever. And there was a lot of complaining a couple of years ago. Nobody complains anymore, and you know why? Because they knocked out, and I'm not just saying this.
Those are hardcore pandas.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
it had a dark story, it had a great characters, introduced all kinds of lore that we hadn't seen before. Like, they did the bang-up job that we wanted with an expansion like that. And they gave us a world we hadn't seen yet, we'd only had hints of before.
Hosen. That was
Hosen.
For me.
The Hosen.
Yeah.
Hosen were huge.
Duke, you and the Duker.
Huge Hosen. but moreover, they just proved that you could do that and also have it be a little more accessible, perhaps, to a larger audience.
It was probably the first time we kind of thought there was a game for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't really feel it was catering just for new players or old players or hardcore or casual. It was everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, what I've kind of taken away from Warlords is it kind of feels like WoW 2, in that we've now got a game where all the character player models are going to be looking just phenomenal.
Yeah.
We're in the nicest environment they've
the
ever
world
built.
Itself. Yeah.
And anyone who buys the game, that's the game they will experience day one. They get a free level 90.
Yeah.
So if you haven't played WoW, if you stop playing WoW, there is never a better time to come back. You know, this is the game that I think puts WoW back to that 12 million upwards, because everyone can come back and enjoy it. They don't have to go through Outlands. Well, different kind, but you know, it's
they do,
they do, but you know, it's a good one.
But a new improved,
exactly. Yeah. And so I just think it's you know, it's exciting, because I've got friends in guildies who've stopped along the way. They might have stopped at Wrath or Cataclysm or Mist even, but any of those now can come back and they can join with me day one and we can play together again. And, yeah, you know, they were saying, you know, WoW's better with friends. And that's what this expansion brings us, is the ability to play with our friends easier than we've ever done before.
We've talked about it on the show a bunch, how do you get back into the game if you've been away for a year? What do you do?
So, I just heard Russell. That was quite good. Yeah, I do have. I've got two friends.
Yes.
One of them still plays, so it's not as good. But the other one doesn't, and so I'm excited
bringing
they can
back.
Come back.
That other one.
Back together. Ooh, yeah. He was the good one, right?
So, yeah. So I mean, I'll ask.
He was a healer. We don't have a healer, so you know.
I'm going to ask Greg this question actually because I can't help it. Is that the core reason behind the decision to go 90 and forward with an extra character like that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the problems of WoW's great success is having so many levels to climb up and having people who, you know, fell off in Lich King or fell off in Cataclysm and they're excited. Hey, we came out with a new expansion. They want to play. And then they're like, but I'm going to level up and it's going to take months and months. The number of people we look at who buy a new expansion and never even reach that level is kind of embarrassing. Mm. We really want to fix that going forward.
Yeah, this seems like the right way to do that. And you actually got my wife, who has up to now had no desire to play WoW with me, because nothing would get done. It's not because she doesn't want to play the game. We wouldn't get anything done because she does everything that I don't do.
Wow.
And but this is the first time she looked at me and went, so wait, I could just start where you're at? We could just go?
Yeah. You guys can just play together.
But then she said an interesting point. She said, isn't that cheating? She just threw the question.
Not anymore.
What?
So
it could have been before.
So stop thinking it as cheating. It's you now get to play the new game. Think of it as WoW 2. Hmm. So you're both starting. It's the biggest reset we've ever had. And it comes in line with the squish. It comes in line with all these other changes that it means that you are now playing WoW 2. And your friends, your wife, is joining you on that brand new experience. And she doesn't have to play the first game to enjoy the second game.
Right.
She can join you and we can all go and play what is arguably the best game they've made. You know, it's going to have all of these people who've had all that experience building the best content they've ever done, and you don't have to enjoy the lessons that they've learned. You know, we've got now the benefit of that. We get the best bits. I just think it's great.
And you humans don't have to be embarrassed anymore.
That's right.
We haven't seen it yet, but we've come to understand that the remake of those humans is going to...
It can't be worse.
It can't be worse.
So,
I actually have a question for Greg. You know, you mentioned people could have fallen off in Lich King or whatever, but what if you fell off the Thandal span? Is there any fix in for that?
Gone forever.
I think we permanently delete your account.
Oh, that's great.
Now, I remember coming into the game, even when, you know, level 40 was the mount and 60 was when people were raiding and it was 40-man raiding, but I came in 6 months after, like, the game had been out or whatever it was, 6 months, 8 months, whatever it was, and feeling way behind. So I can't even imagine what it feels like to people now. So, like, this is, to me, it's like, yeah, this is the perfect solution to fixing all of that.
The thing we don't know yet is how they're going to handle the older editions. Mm-hmm. I would hope that you can just buy Warlords and you're in. And even if you don't have the original game or the expansions, you know, I think if Blizzard passes up that, like, $5, $10 or whatever they're selling the battle chest for and just makes it easy, that's the whole point. Is I want to tell someone, look, buy the game, set up your subscription, get used to it.
Right.
And
roll a healer. That's what we need.
Exactly. We need a healer. Okay. I'll just tell them, priests, they're so good, honestly. just trust me, try that. See how you get on. I'm a warrior, so you can help me. That'd be great. That for me just then means it's going to be brilliant. And now it depends, obviously, if you've got to buy a battle chest, it then adds complexity to that is scary when you're telling someone, join me in this game, first you've got to buy two games. Yeah. But again, if it's as easy as that, then I just think the likes of those other big games, you've got WildStar, you've got Elder Scrolls Online, you know, they're going to look, you know, the same, if not WoW, again, looks probably better in my opinion.
They're bumping up to something that feels like a sequel and has 10 years legacy.
It's got all of that old content, all of that player base. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's as many as it is today, that's, you know, 6-7 million people to play with day one.
Yeah.
None of those other games have that.
Yeah, it's not going to be a ghost town like the first day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And equally, it's got that proven kind of pedigree and heritage that you're not got that normal new MMO fear of, is this going to stop after a couple of months?
Well, Scott, put yourself in the shoes of, like, a brand new player.
Yeah.
If you come in at 90, like say, you know, your wife. You come in at 90. Do you think you go back and play some of the old stuff?
Or well,
do you think
I think
consider it just 90 to
200? Well, it's important that you can.
You can.
And they're not saying, here's your nine other slots of dude you can start at 90. They're not saying that.
No, you pay probably $15 for those.
Terpstra has some theories about that.
I'd pay for one, but anyway, that's just me. Because I don't want to have to keep doing it.
Yeah, no,
I want to play the new good bits.
For me, it's exciting because I do. I would like to bump an alt where I don't have time. But when you get them up to equal, and then I kind of do have time. I can juggle these two alts, and I can play that way. So for me, it's a huge benefit. But for others, we were talking to Tom Merritt earlier about... He's a lore.
You gotta stop using Tom Merritt as the casual gamer example. Tom, you're really good at games. I swear to God.
He loves questing and loves solving a zone before he leaves, even if he's well out leveling it. If it's
his tiny Death Star is so much bigger than mine.
I know, right? His elevator is just.
He's just got a Death Star now. It's not
tiny. It's not tiny anymore. But that's the thing is that he can still do that. People can still use that content. I have to think as developers, Greg, you guys have to look at the body of work sometimes and go, oh, crap, no one's going to see this again. Or they're not going to see it at the level they used to. Or remember how awesome that was when
you made
that.
I'd be more worried about, we're going to have to fix that again in 5 years' time. You know, every time, like, you know, if you don't do this, you're looking at Outlands, you're looking at, you know, all these places, they're having to revisit and fix all the character races now. You kind of feel like anything you build that is going to be there forever and experienced forever, at some point you have to return to and make that of similar quality.
Well, and you mentioned the squish, so the item squish. I remember when you were on stage 2 years ago, and you mentioned this idea of an item squish and the number squish, and everybody got excited, some were in awe, people, and we've argued about it since. Everybody in raids always talking about what is that going to mean, because we're looking at DPS numbers now that are frightening and mean, and I'm still at the bottom of the chain.
So, and that will remain, Scott. I will always stress that.
Stay. It's a relic of change. Yeah.
Exactly. You will still be the worst. But we'll be able to see, understandably, how bad you
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
Yeah. It won't be hidden. Like, exactly.
It'll be much easier to tell.
Oh,
yeah.
I see, because it's only missing one digit. Whereas now, we're easily see. You know.
So do you feel, I guess the question is, or what I was trying to roll around to, is this idea of starting a character at 90 and letting all of that be the past and letting him just move forward, that feels like a squish in its own way. Is that a fair assumption on my part to call that a world squish, a game squish, but something like that, where it's like a kind of a new start in a way.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. It's unfortunate that new players see our oldest and worst content first.
Yeah, right when they log in.
It takes a while to get to the really good-looking zones and the new creatures, and we know how to tell stories better, I hope, these days, so we really want to get players to the good stuff right away. And if they really care about the old stuff, it is still there, like you point out.
Yeah, Goldshire is still kind of awesome.
Well, and you have this problem that just kind of repeats itself, because Cataclysm fixed a lot of that. So Cataclysm turned starting zones and stuff that I'd been used to into some really cool kicking content that I hadn't experienced. I got to do it again, and that was great. But then you hit Outlands, I go, oh, yeah. We got Outlands to do still.
Zanger Mars. No, you don't do it. You just queue the whole way through.
It's all Dungeon Finder. That's all Dungeon Finder.
Which they know that. I mean, you guys get data that says how are people getting through those levels, and they know. So my guess is that being as aware of that as you are, the way to deal with it is to, because you can't. I mean, we're 100 levels.
To me, it feels like Zanger Marsh is so bad. They've actually just flooded it now. That's it now. It's just like, don't worry about it. We get it. It's gone. You know,
like Thousand Needles did the same thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Just dump water into what you don't like. Let's talk about the 100 levels real quick. So, in the past couple expansions, five at a time. I'm gonna keep asking Greg questions now. 100 levels. Like, that's a kind of a big deal, but also that's a 10 level stretch. Is the squish? I don't know, help in getting us to where we can do that again?
I think mostly it was just the realization that we don't have to give out class abilities every single level in order to make leveling fun. That was one of the reasons that we stopped at 5, so we wouldn't have to give out so many new abilities, and now we're going to do 10 and give out almost no new abilities. And I think 10 just feels it's more epic. We get to 100, which is really exciting. You get rewards more frequently as you level up. So...
equally as well, there's no starting zone, there's no new race, there's no new class or something that had a big chunk of content put
into
it.
That we know of.
Well, so far.
talked about.
But so now what it means is that, I mean, I don't know the numbers, but I'd imagine that not everyone has rolled a panda, for example. But the amount of time that was spent on that panda starting area, you know, the Pandaren area is fantastic, but that now has gone into a place where everyone can enjoy it. And equally as well, as we level and as the leveling changes, we just have more options of where to go, is my hope for Draenor.
Well, it's actually the game itself has gone away from the every level you get something kind of model. I mean, I remember when I first started playing the game, and it was like, okay, from 1 to 2, this yellow text would pop up. You went up 2 intellect.
6 and whatever, you know, stamina, yeah.
And like, I was like, important. I was like, oh, awesome. I can now, I don't know what that means, but okay. And then, you know, we got to this point where it was, you know, every 15 levels you get, you know, it's like, wow, that's too long. And we had a debate about it on the show.
We did,
like,
yeah.
Like, wait, I don't want to feel like I didn't get anything when I leveled up. But as I played it, I realized it didn't actually matter as much. Like, getting the you know, the golden swirly was kind of enough for me, and I felt good about leveling, and I knew I was getting closer.
For me, it's gear upgrades. It's it's finishing a quest line that was
the
epic.
The golden swirly, yes.
Yeah.
So, on the topic of gear, I didn't quite understand earlier. You were going through these kind of new stats, and so, like, we've got, you know, cleave and things like that. Are those random, so I could have the same item as someone else, the same name, and have a different, like almost like a Diablo-esque role on it, or are they separate items so that there's a, you know, glove of haste which comes with cleave on it, and there's a glove of haste that doesn't, or is it, you know, do they have, are they pre-itemized, for example?
The idea is that it's random, and in the same way that an item could just randomly be warforged from the Siege of Orgrimmar raid, you might, oh, this boot dropped had cleave on it. Does that make anyone excited who wants this particular boot instead? Just in the Diablo-like way of keeping it fresh and exciting and making it... It feels a little formulaic these days. Everyone knows what loot drops from every boss and just want to spice it up a little.
Yeah, exactly. I guess it kind of makes running the same content again feel exactly more exciting. You know, there's a, this time it could be, oh, I can get that run speed boost. Yeah.
There's a reason that like trinkets were like the most sought-after items because they did something cool, you know? Like, you'd get a trinket and it's like, oh, I transform now. Like, yes, I want that. And then it was like, oh, the boots, more agility. You know, that's, like, it's just, I'm looking at numbers. And at a certain point, I'm like, I don't really even, like, I just know that they're better.
Well, even with trinkets that would proc stuff, you'd end up tying it to a macro eventually, and you would kind of lose
just
its luster.
It felt like something was happening.
I mean, like, I got the spark of the Zandalari or whatever it is, and that's awesome. Like, every now and then, I'm just a troll. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Then the time I'm a Tauren, it's not as amazing.
You're a troll way more than you think sometimes.
Yeah. Well... It's because it procs a lot. It's a good trinket. Yeah. It's a good trinket.
High proc rate on that thing.
So I have a question for you, Russell, about the way this shift. This is a shift from Mists of Pandaria to, again, which was my whole original point, which is this is a shift to a thing that is a much more primal era in the game, in the world of Warcraft, in Warcraft lore in general. And you went from this majestic, Asian-inspired, lush landscape where the music just flowed. This expansion, it was beautiful, and no one here disagrees with me. It was an amazing expansion music, this expansion. I defy it to tell me different. So what are the challenges in moving now to what I love about the new expansion, and from what I've seen, is it is a rough piece of business, and I like that. Deserts and harsh and rocky and horrible and lava coming out of stuff it shouldn't come out of and things like that.
See your doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. That lasts for more than four hours.
Yeah.
So what is it like to shift gears like that? It's a big shift, is it not?
That's what I think, what's most stimulating. Music is a game of contrasts, and if we were to be doing more gardens and rainbows and bunnies, it would just be not as interesting. So to go back, but not to a time like Cataclysm, but to go back and like look for why this stuff was iconic in the first place, and then try to amplify that.
Yeah.
Plus the challenge, and I think our biggest challenge, at least in my opinion, is to take now the kind of two flavors of Horde. There's the, you know, the Iron Horde that's off on a tear, that's, you know, dangerous and not good for anyone or any world. And then we have the old school Horde, but it can't stay the same. As Metzen said, it's got to reinvent itself for this new world. So that's the challenge, because the contrasts there aren't as readily apparent. At least music is so abstract.
Sure,
so
sure.
I'm not quite sure how we're going to do that yet. It's really kind of early, but
well, you also
what
have
a fun puzzle to have.
Yeah, I agree.
You also have old music like already that is kind of associated with this world, and how much do you incorporate that into the new. Like, do you recycle some of the old melodies and the?
Well, Jason Hayes wrote a, we'll call it the garage theme, and that had started appearing in Orgrimmar. We didn't get rid of the old music, but we started introducing every few songs you hear this new garage theme. So, you know, we started planting seeds, and as far as what happens after, you know, the switch is thrown and we're in 6-0, well, the art will tell us a lot.
Sure.
The story will tell us a lot as musicians.
Yeah. And when you create this stuff, and you know, it's actually kind of telling that you're saying, like, well, this stuff isn't finalized until we see this. How close do you feel like it is to, like, you know, scoring a movie or something like that? Do you actually, like, grab some of the imagery while you're working on this stuff and just kind of...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's some things that I think don't change from games to movies to TV to whatever, and that is the art and tools of storytelling.
Sure.
And using music and sound as your primary form of communication. You know, leading the ear through something, finding what it is that is universally emotional to people. Mm-hmm. What gets them stirred up? What's increases adrenaline, all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's universal across all formats. I think, though, then the next thing to consider is that I love an old John Williams quote. He said, I spent like 80% of my time coming up with the themes. And there's no orchestra. It's just him and a piano, and he's coming up with these themes. And he will slave over them to make sure they're perfect. And if you think about him, his best themes are quite simple. They're often just a few notes. I mean, Jaws is extreme. All right.
It's kind of simple, yeah.
Although he did have to say to Spielberg, you know, kind of trust me on this. I think this is going to work.
Yeah, yeah, right. Whatever. He left it to the last minute, like all of us. And it was,
That works.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I'm sure he sat there and said, Steven, you know your freaking shark doesn't work.
Yeah.
We're going to have to come up with something.
Don't come to me with the music. Yeah, I like it.
But no, he's, you know, I better not sing it because someone's going to owe someone some money. But anyway, like...
Pod safe music, everybody.
Indiana Jones. You can always put it to it. It's good.
Anyway, you know what I was about to sing. That's so simple, but that's some of the hardest stuff to write. So he does that, and then the last 20% almost writes itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not as easy as saying, oh, Vader's on the screen, so it's his theme, but it could be blocked out that way. And then you start tuning, and I think for me, Diablo 3 was the first thing that I approached that way, and it was really hard, but it worked.
Yeah,
it really worked.
Finding like four notes that go together and make something memorable is, I can't do it. So, give much props.
So, here's
doing it many times.
Here's a connective tissue question. We always hear what inspires you, the art team, the story team. They're going to bring you things, and you'll see a huge like garage painting and go, I know how we're going to score that business because that is badass and we're going to make it even more badass or whatever. Does it translate back to you guys and systems and mechanics and all of that? Do you get inspiration if you hear the latest score of the opening zone or something like that? Like, how do you guys respond to these other teams bringing stimulus to you guys?
Say yes.
Is it? Do we need to convince Russell to make some really good Paladin music?
No, it's really true. The... I didn't realize this. What players pointed out when they started to play through Shadow Moon on the show floor is that you realize this is the Black Temple theme taken and kind of made, you know, a little cleaner, less scary, but the notes are there. And I was like, holy crap, I didn't realize it. But of course, once someone says that, you're like, yeah, that's it. And I mean, that was amazing. It pulled the story back to something that was familiar to players, even though that's theoretically in the future for this time. So it's crazy, but it all just worked.
Well, it's because you guys, I think a lot of people think that you guys specifically deal with a lot of numbers, a lot of reaction action, like it's a lot of sort of spreadsheets, and I have to think it's not. You guys have to get some inspiration. I mean, your job is to
mainly
go okay,
the forum, just, Scott. You know, if you go on there, they have
Twitter.
I'm
sure Twitter helps make everything better, but but you know what I mean. Like, you guys have got to figure out a way to make this flex raid thing work with the drop rate here and the this and the that. That can start to seem like math.
Yeah.
And I assume you guys like it when these other pieces of the inspiration puzzle are coming. The lore is coming at you. The music's coming at you. And you guys can kind of. I don't know, make that more fun so it's not so mathy? Am I wrong to assume that?
No, you're totally right. I know it can seem sometime from like my half of the design is all just ones and zeros coming out, but that's not even the
that's
fun part.
Equally
of the
Scott's DPS, by the way.
It's funny because it's true.
But it is a very creative experience. And we talk, like, the word you hear all the time in design meetings is fun. It's like, is this ability fun? Is this rotation fun? Is this new trinket fun? And, sometimes we get it wrong, but that's always what's governing it, not necessarily what's balanced. That's just kind of we're reacting to what players are saying and trying to fix the rough edges, but really it's about a creative experience, not a very dry analytical one.
Mm. So we've talked on the show for years, multiple years about this. There's always somebody saying, player housing, guild halls, like this one.
Yeah.
A dance studio. And I always said, and Blizzard would always not answer the question or say, yeah, it's not really in the timeline, or we've got other fish to fry or whatever. Garrisons smells an awful lot like guild housing to me, or player housing, but it's definitely got that kind of, yeah, we'll bring you your housing, but we're going to do it. We're not just going to give you a place to throw your crap.
We're going to put spikes on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're gonna be able to, Assassin's Creed people out to do your dirty work for you, and like all these other sort of added on things. But I wanted to ask this when you're on stage, and of course no one did, but is that the core reason we're getting garrisons? Is it to answer that, or was that the inspiration for it, and you guys just had decided to sort of let it be in some other things as well and let it grow out from there?
I would say it was three things. One is definitely trying to deliver on player housing in a way that feels very Warcraft. You're not putting up your curtains and planting your flowers here. You're getting an army together to defeat the Iron Horde.
Right. Yeah.
So that was part of it. Another part of it was the success we had with the Sunsong Ranch in Mist of Pandaria. Mm, that was a very small feature that a couple of designers worked on that just blew up and went crazy.
Mm.
And you
guys all did that, yeah?
Yeah, everyone's the other farm. And
still doing it.
They've tilled the soil.
They've got so many vegetables.
It's happening now.
I got to go pick some carrots after this, actually.
That's the hardest thing, because over here I've got to log in back home, because otherwise the Jinyu guys, he's told me some crops are going to be good tomorrow, but by the time I get there, I've got completely different ones. It's tough.
Oh, that's great.
So really hoping the garrison feels like the farm times 1,000, because there's a mine, there's a place to fish, there's all
that. Is there a farm? Can I plant?
There is a farm as well, yes. And the Jinyu guy can come with you.
Ah,
make it stuff up now. And then the third thing is just the fiction, that you're going to this world where you're kind of the invader, and you realize you're so outnumbered against all of these orcs, and so you have to, in a real-time strategy tradition, build a base, gather resources, make an army before you have any chance to defeat this enemy.
Mm. Plus, we're pretty badass at this point.
Yeah,
we've done a lot of cool stuff.
We've killed so many things.
And yet I don't have a castle yet.
I remember that.
Literally, if I killed a king, I would have a castle.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
So
I'm the bane
exactly.
of the Lich King.
Yeah.
Says it right above my
head. Yeah.
I'm sure,
just
a lot of
Kingslayer, but anyway, that's the
it
thing.
It does create individualism.
It feels cool.
Yeah.
It feels cool. But equally, I like there's so much personality, that we can put into it.
Yeah.
And we can pick our kind of companions and name them and stuff like that.
Mm.
So I have to try and make and find people who look like the A-Team. Because there's no way I'm not having B.A. Baracus in face.
Yeah.
And then how we need it to kind of develop is I need to be able to go and do a 5-man with these 4 NPCs just so I can go out and hire the A-team.
You want to be amazing.
But
saying.
Then they got to make a black van mount. And
that would be amazing.
It's too much. It's too much.
The big problem, though, is getting BA to the dungeon because he doesn't fly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and getting, spiking a milk or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, we need to get a mage troll on board. Sweat. It'd be tough.
Finally used for all that troll sweat.
Wouldn't it be cool if in upgrading your van you had to have a montage?
I agree.
Oh, that would be amazing.
We have accomplished great things here today.
I love it when a plan comes together.
You're also going to have to give us like 6 more necklace slots because you just can't.
Yeah. That would be, again,
one
he would
is
be
never
so
gonna
OP.
Be enough. Yeah.
He's so OP. It'd be amazing. But he can only brawl. That's the sound.
Yeah, that's so true. It's the only skill he's going to have. Who do we have to thank? Do we have you to thank for getting rid of Hit finally, by the way? I don't know if everyone else is happy about losing Hit, but I am.
I didn't hate it.
I hate it because I always didn't have enough of it. Or I screwed up my stat. I know, but people would say I go into a raid, like even Flex raiding now, and Al or somebody would go, Scott, your pit's way off. And
ironically, not with that mic stat.
You have 100% hit rate with this thing.
But I'm sure you put in another stat. I think there's another stat in place that you will not have.
I need
Scott. I'm fairly confident.
Yeah, you'll find the stat.
There's no reforging.
I'll reforge and start kicking.
It's gone.
Yeah, reforging gone. Sorry, Scott.
Brilliant.
Took it away.
So decisions like that seem like big ones to me because they've been around for a long time. How hard is it to shave that kind of beard after all this time?
I mean,
Russell's panic. Right there, Scott.
Russell's beard was visibly shaken by that.
It was shaken. It actually shook a little. Oh, boy.
I mean, I think what I said on stage is it no longer felt like a bonus. It felt like a hoop you had to jump through before you could start having fun. And once we have a system like that, it's hard to justify to keep including it in the game. Mm. No one gets excited when an item with a ton of hit drops. It's like either relief or you're mad. So. Mm.
There's no, are you just going to go reforge it to be something else anyway? Yeah. That's interesting.
Well, at this point, like hit and expertise were not a stat I ever even thought about. I just went to the reforger, opened my add-on, and said, do it. And that was it.
I asked Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
That's all I did.
Exactly. Like, it wasn't
something I... didn't know what it does.
Good advice. Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, I have this thing. What do I need to do to it?
Yeah.
You know?
Actually, that's another question. I've always wondered this. When an add-on comes out that makes some of that work so much simpler... And I don't want to call it work. It's game. It's fun. There can be fun in doing that. I'm sure there's people manually reforging who love it. I'm sure there are. But I'm not one of them. I'm
not very many.
Neither is anyone of these guys. So when an add-on comes out that does those things simply, I'm assuming there's probably maybe even a little relief that, okay, well, now there's a way people do it, and it just gets done. But do you lament that and wish, well, I wish that was funner? Like, back to the fun word, do you feel like that stuff misses fun sometimes?
Totally. The fantasy of what reforging was supposed to be was, I really want a lot of haste. I like to cast fast spells, so I'm going to convert this crit on my gear to haste, and then I'll be the fast guy. Mm. But this whole, like, we call it the cascade, where you get a new piece of gear, so ask Mr. Robot, which we love those guys, but, okay, change your bracers hit to this, then your chest to this, and, I mean, that's not fun. It's like, it's work, and the add-on is doing all the work for you anyway, so.
Right.
Well, that's what happens with any mechanic, and you guys, I'm sure, are fully aware that someone figures it out mathematically, and then everybody goes, cool, thanks for doing that, now we don't have to do it.
Someone theory
and everyone just follows that.
And then they run with it, and then we do the same hunter build as each other.
Well, it's the we talk about this.
And yet, his DPS is so...
we talked about it with the Hearthstone thing too. Is that they're talking about the metagame, and it's because right now people figure something out, and then everybody copies it, and someone figures out how to counter it, and then everyone copies the counter, and then so it's like constantly stacking. But in WoW, like there's not like the counter to my best build, you know, because I'm fighting something else. In PvP there is, but you know it doesn't work the same way.
Yeah, 10-man content. People are stressed. The 10-man content is going away, right? Some of you fear that. We always fear things at BlizzCon that don't end up being bad.
Yeah.
But that being said, I always felt like Flex, and not to diggy too hard on Flex, I like Flex a lot, and this isn't negative about Flex. Flex is hugely positive. Flex has made it possible for me to raid on a regular basis again, and it's been awesome. So the nights where I could raid, we didn't not raid because someone else couldn't come or something. We're able to do it.
It's made the 9 other people also able to raid.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, we get up to...
We weren't waiting on you anymore.
17, 18 people. I mean, we have like 30 people now that will raid, so it's now totally we kind of have the problem again. But, you know, too many want to raid, and we have to leave people out. But if we have 17 people and we run, it's really been this really great experience. But I always had this inkling in my head that you guys were experimenting with that. That was not meant as a, here's a new tier, see ya, we won't touch that again for 4 years. That looked like a thing where you were testing something. And appears so, because now we're moving to a flex-based rating world all around the world. But the 10 men seem to be lost in the shuffle. How would you address that?
I mean, 10 isn't going anywhere for the vast majority of raiders. We now will have 3 of the 4 raid difficulties. You can raid in anything from 10 up to 25. So for the vast majority of 10-player raiders, they can keep doing what they're doing. Mm. We did feel like we had to finally pick a target size for the hardest difficulty level, which is called
Mythic, right?
Mythic.
It's called
not
Mythic, but
Mystic.
Everyone called it Mystic.
I know, it's brilliant,
Mystic.
Wasn't it? I thought there was another one, and I was thinking, like, this is getting ridiculous now.
These are like badges.
But exactly, yeah. But yeah. Mythic, I mean, at least it makes sense, because 25, like, that doesn't, it's not like, yeah, I've got my 10-man group, and then we team up with the other 10-man group, and, oh, no, we're still short. Mm. You know, whereas at least there is some kind of level of, kind of, sanity behind it.
Yeah.
But I don't know until like actually people start playing 10-man flex heroic and just see is that really easy. You know, I don't know if it's going to be prohibitive. It's just that thing because there is another tier on top, mm-hmm. which apparently they can't do without another 10 people. People will kind of feel like, oh, I can't raid at the top of the game anymore. But I don't know. We always get scared at change, and it's because it's, you know, it's different. And then what will happen is Greg will come back in two BlizzCons from now and say Mythic gone. You know, and everyone will be like, cheer. So I'm not even fussed really. But I understand people are scared. But you know, Ian was saying the reason they've kind of made a big deal of it now is so that go out there, find 10 more people. Run some tens for now, and then come the expansion, you're going to have a 20-man team to go ahead.
Yeah, and a lot of the tens that were are scared about this now were just previously scared prior to the Flex release until Flex actually got released, and then realized, well, if we're still a cohesive 10-man and we're still raiding, then we're still raiding.
If you're actually one of those few groups that has 10 guys always show up, and you have a really close-knit group,
they still have their game.
But also, Flex at the moment isn't... Like, there isn't a hard flex available.
Yeah.
So people hear flex and think, oh, that's casual. Now, where's my hardcore?
Right.
But, I mean, I think the hope would be is that that flex that's heroic will be, you know, a 10, 11, 12, etc. man heroic. It just so happens you have the flexibility to run it with as many people as you have.
And is that where you guys are at with it? Is that the hope? That's what
that's totally the hope. Today, if you're a legitimate 10-player guild, it's very hard to grow. If you attract that 12th or 13th person, you just have more people sitting out.
Yeah.
But in the future, if you attract that 12th or 13th person, even if they're not there every week, now they can raid. And so there's a reason that even the 10-player guilds can slowly creep up in size. So our hope is it's not going to be a big leap to get that 20th person if you really do want to be the hardest of the hardcore in that 2% category.
Now, I'm excited about the adventure guide in a pretty big way, because there are times for people to come back into the game, even if you're coming in on this 90 deal, you're going to be a little bit of, where am I, who am I, what are these new talents? Like, it's going to be a little scary. I had this problem just up in the press room, fired up a character, orc, his name was Gurp, all right?
Mm. Was he a hunter?
He was a hunter,
all
yes.
Right.
And all I had was a spider, no tigers to tame. But anyway, I fired all that up, and I looked at my bar and went, wow, it's really prioritizing that shot, and it's really prioritizing this, and that's a new talent I haven't seen yet, and kind of took me a minute.
Yeah.
Well, that's normal, and plus my add-ons aren't there, so everything looks weird, and you have to just sort of deal with it. But it seems like an adventure guide, the way described on stage, is a way of handling that. Is that the design idea behind this? Is it will say, hey, last you were here, not kind of a, you know, previously on this episode of
World of Warcraft.
But it's the same idea, right? You want to catch them up, tell them where you're at. If you're in a certain progression, hey, by the way, last time you were here, you were doing these things, and you probably ought to do this next.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's definitely a problem for like that fourth or fifth character you have that you don't play as much.
Oh, yeah,
you're like,
no.
What was I doing with this guy? I don't even remember. And since then, new content has come out, and I don't know if I'm supposed to take this character and do the new content or finish the old content first. And it's a weird thing to kind of pitch at BlizzCon, because this is a pretty self-selecting hardcore group of WoW players that shows up. But it's a feature we're pretty excited about.
Yeah,
I'm worried though it's going to be like Amazon, you know, and it's going to say, you know, players are also a noob, also spent a lot of time just sitting around. You know, and it's just going to... I'm just...
Dancing naked
exactly.
On mailboxes.
Or if I, you know, I help, you know, help a friend, you know, do something, if, you know, if it's going to recommend me to carry on doing that, I don't know. But, you know, these things, I think, are definitely handy for the alts. I think that's definitely a big
thing. For anyone confused, that's Amazon here in the States, not Amazon.
Amazon.
I don't know where he's from.
I would love to see the person who's just gone, oh.
Oh, I had no idea what
you're
talking about.
I just don't understand his accent.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the first expansion that there wasn't either a new class or a new race or both. Obviously, there are, you know, who knows what the future holds, but am I right in assuming that, first of all? I think that's right.
I think I'd have to go through the list, but that sounds right.
Yeah. Is that...
feels right, Scott.
Yeah. It's to me, that it was a little bit surprising. I feel like there's plenty of content, and I'm not really all that
worried about it.
Do you want one? I don't want
it. Yeah, what were you thinking of? Like, yeah.
I don't really.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the thing is exactly. It would kind of feel like, you know, anything is going to struggle with being the B team really coming up now. Yeah. And equally, we've got
just
kind of like
gnomes,
10
you
know? New races. Let's leave the gnomes out.
They got some love. They shot their animations first.
Exactly. But equally, all of these new character races, you know, that I guess that team who would have been making, you know, a new playable character is now making like 10 new playable characters or whatever, you know. And the thing is looking at how good, like, I was going through all the emotes on like a dwarf and just doing a slash cower, like this guy is just distorting his face and just like getting so scared, and he looks scared.
And that's not even all the animations yet, like they still got all this stuff
exactly
to put in.
And it's brilliant. He was doing flexing, he looked he was, you know, you can almost hear him growling without any music and sound. And I mean, that is, like I said, it's so needed, because it's kind of like living in a house for long enough that you stop paying attention to the fact that, I mean, that wall doesn't have any wallpaper.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even notice it anymore. Mm-hmm. But if you are a new person coming in there, the first thing you think is, why has that got no wallpaper?
Right.
And, you know, when you've gotten, you know, new players coming to WoW, you know, we're so forgiving on the fact that human, well, not very forgiving.
Well,
but
it still holds up. It actually still really does hold
up.
It's
you
just
look at a human
doesn't hold
exactly,
up.
Exactly. And, like, in the when they're showing off the new dungeon, they've got this fantastic Conan the Barbarian reference.
Yeah.
And you've got, I think it's like called, like, Con Man Barbarian, and he's pushing the wheel, and he's saying, like, you know, grant me revenge.
Mm-hmm.
But
like, where did these orcs get this human?
I know, exactly. Exactly. He was obviously just, I don't know, it's amazing. But if you look at the model, like, he's got triangles poking out of his back from how distorted his you know, he's only got like 3 polygons on his back, it seems.
Yeah.
So when you raise his arms up like that to push a big wheel,
because
it's a big wheel, they're like ogres.
Sure, of course they are.
And so it just doesn't work. And so, you know, it stands out so much.
Mm.
But, you know, with all of this, you know, effort put into the new playable races, like, honestly, it's like I feel like I can be proud about my game again. You know, I can say, check out what I'm playing.
It's
look
funny.
How good this looks.
You could say, in theory, that this the redo you guys are doing on models is this year's race slash class.
Sure.
That's what it feels like to me. And I know that it's not exactly the same, but after playing with that orc and going, I'm going to just look that good.
Honestly,
all the time,
yeah, exactly. Those orcs look amazing.
And the way he's running, it's also it's a really interesting. You talk about this with music a lot, but it's also from the guys who were animating those characters. I noticed right away that we're not seeing a totally different orc. We're just seeing my orc looking hot. Do you know what I mean?
Hot orc. Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's hot.
Not exactly.
Really, each to their own.
But there's like a heft to him now, and there's all this meat to him, and it feels and looks right, but it's still, he's got the same gait, really. He's got the same sort of swing to his arms. Like, I'm at home, but I'm not. Like, I think that's a hard thing to...
It's a hard thing to
bridge, because you could have gone crazy and had him just totally look different and walk different, move different, and feel different. And that would feel maybe a little uncanny. It wouldn't feel like your character anymore. Like, I feel like there was a concerted effort there to stick to what was already working about those models and just flesh those models out for a more modern rig that we're playing them on. So, yes, sir.
There's something that you would only know if you came to our sound panel this morning, and that is it's very important to us in the sound department that we felt this feature of new character models is huge. So we are addressing all the sounds that you hear all the time. So footsteps, not only footsteps that are unique to many of the races, like, so cloven hooves sound different than big old bare feet. But also we're adding more surfaces, so that it's a little thing, but think about it. You hear this all the time.
Yeah.
We're increasing our palette of exertions again, things you hear all the time. And
is there any space for any new voice actors? You know, just saying, you know, I could.
The only ones that know how to say Amazon.
Not enough rage. Done. You know, we can work on it.
Outlook hazy.
Okay.
Give him a call.
Just sleep on it.
Not going to happen.
That's interesting, though, because it is small stuff. And doesn't that make the biggest... I mean, it's detail and a painting.
Well, have you heard the Hunter sound effects?
The which?
They've redone the bun...
the GURPS
the
sound effects?
Oh, the bun.
the gun, the bow, and the crossbow.
I was going to mention that to you.
Yes, so we're revisiting hunter weapons.
Yeah.
And part of the reason is because when a lot... When they were created...
Hunter talk!
correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't. I came in about 6 months after WoW shipped, but you couldn't fire things as often. There was some cool down. There was something.
There wasn't. The microphones work in podcasting. I've learned. I was just leaning back. There was a delay. There was a delay. I want to.
You only used to auto shoot, so I don't know if it's the right.
No. There was a delay so that when you'd fire, it wasn't synchronized with the sound effect. Yeah. So you would get a lot of smoke flying out with no sound.
Yeah. So when you were turning with the keyboard.
Yeah. Keyboard turning all the time. Oh, wait, that's not how you do it? What's a mouse?
So the point is that now, for a long time now, you've been able to spam those weapons a lot. And so, you know, that big, bright sound, especially if you're in a close quarters thing and you've got other ones around you, we start to cross into that territory where we're violating one of the primary rules of sound design: do no annoying. It's informational, it's important, and it should still be satisfying. And I thought what was cool today, I mean, we heard it through the refrigerator's size speakers, but it, you know, it sounded cool, but stacked on top of each other, it's not going to, like, be making your teeth fall out of your head.
Yeah, that fascinates me, just because the game is so much about, I mean, we get caught up in how much gear we have, what our eye level is, and who's doing what DPS or whatever, but I'm always at my happiest in WoW when I'm so immersed in it that I'm not noticing that music riff was really cool and added to the ambience of the place I'm in, that the sound effects that are going on in Silver Moon, which is basically nothing, but, you know, there's a feel to the empty spaces, there's a feel to the busy spaces, and that stuff makes a huge difference. But I think a lot of players just don't even pay attention to it.
Someone asked today in the Q&A, you know, are you going to do something with Silver Moon? And I was thinking, selfishly, yeah, I'd love that. Just
raise
because
it.
That's some cool music that is not heard a lot.
What, like Dalaran style? Just take it up
no,
the sky?
No, just flatten it. Boom.
There oh, raise God. It. Raise
yeah.
it.
Raise it. Yeah. Boom. Done.
I love Silver Moon.
No.
It's the Las Vegas of Azeroth.
Yeah. So
nobody's there, though.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally empty.
I'm sorry. It's the Reno.
It's the Reno.
Of Azeroth.
Yeah. Sorry, Reno. Sorry.
Atlantic City of Azeroth.
The slots are really loose, though.
Oh, gosh. What else? I've been blown away by everything we've seen. We probably should mention real quick, and so we can open up some questions real quick, but I want to just quickly go over, at least the three of us, and please throw in if you have anything to say about these, but just some of the other stuff that they showed this week. The trailer for Heroes of the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
I think I peed a little bit.
Yes. It was pure fan service, wasn't it?
Unbelievable.
Just like, you know, just
and I was serviced. It was amazing.
Yeah. Well. I was sat to the side, and
baby,
I looked over. I said, "Scott should really pay attention."
Very
to this,
satisfied. But, yeah,
yeah.
It was. I mean, I just Rainer pulling his blast shield thing down, and the nuke going off, and squaring off with Diablo. I mean, what the heck? Like, that is something it's to me, it's like actually getting an Avengers movie like we got. It's like, finally this happened.
Yeah.
And that's what this felt like to me, is like all my favorite Blizzard stuff, and they're fighting in this. Oh, that's just bananas.
That would have been cool, actually. Yeah.
Would have been.
We got our stitches. Yeah.
So, I mean, from what I've seen, I'm really stoked about it. And we'll talk probably pretty heavily down the road in different episodes about whether or not we think the MOBA space has room for another player like that at that level. After seeing what I've seen,
I
think it does.
I was saying as well, like, what I want in WoW is, you know, when I down a boss, is I want to unlock that skin in Heroes and stuff like that and tie them together. We've got Battle.net's this fantastic thing, and I'm sure equally, you know, it saves Blizzard having to pay 30% to Valve and sell it on Steam, but equally it means that we're all on this same platform,
right?
And we've got Cheeves, and Cheeves are cool because, you know, I can look at you and me and I can be like, well, I guess my EP is bigger.
I guess I'm better.
Yeah, exactly. But I think what would be cool is to kind of feel like there was some sort of other benefit. So it's like, you
well,
know,
the crossover benefit is, I mean, like a card in Hearthstone would be like,
amazing.
Oh, I killed, you know, the new boss, and boom.
We do it now with pets. We do it now with other things in the game. So I am
like
very
hopeful.
Maybe
I get like a, you know, a Garrosh hero card that looks like him when he's all old goddy, you know, and that would be a thing because I defeated him within the first month or something like that. You know, something cool that kind of encourages us to experience these other Blizzard titles because they're all so good, but equally, you know, just I just think it would be really cool.
Well,
I think Heroes is all about fan service.
The response to that particular cinematic, like, just kind of made it very clear everyone's playing all the games, like, because once you saw oh, this character and this character, same game. Like, everyone was just like, yes, because we're all doing the whole gamut. We're all playing all of them. And it, you know, felt real good to see Lich King bust out there.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
Yeah. Although, still yeah. got it. He still got
still
it.
Still got it. He might be dead. Exactly. We might have killed him.
But this idea of Nova aiming a gun at the Lich King is just the weirdest thing.
I would have loved it, though, if they trolled us and just said, the new WoW expansion, and that just opened up. And you're like, what? What the hell? What's going on?
I would have loved
yeah.
that.
And they go, nah, we're joking. It's over. Yeah. But wouldn't that be cool?
We did briefly talk about Metzen coming out in a DeLorean to announce a time travel.
Doc, we got to go back to Draenor.
That would have been perfect. All right.
It's Garrosh, Marty.
Marty.
He's gone mad.
So I want to give some stuff away. Good. That is pretty good.
Again, see voice acting. I'm just saying.
Right here.
I'm just saying.
Yep. This whole time he's been...
he's just auditioning.
The whole time he is.
I don't care about the show.
We got to go through the dark portal, Doc. Yeah,
we're going to give away some CDs. And how we're going to do this, and thank you very much for bringing these. Very nice. We're going to have anybody who
have
wants to...
Have you left these three here for us? So are these...
No,
that's what I thought. That's crafty.
Three of them got left
behind. We have connections. We'll figure that out. But let's... somebody come on up and stand by this mic. Come on up. We'll just do you first, and then anybody who... Sorry, Dills. Anybody who wants to... is that one going to work, or is this one better? Dills better? Oh, my gosh.
We will go...
Everyone's got plenty of leaves.
We have we'll go 10... Oh.
Are we going?
We good?
Are we good? Okay.
Hello, hello.
There we go.
We will go, just real quick, by note of whatever, we'll go a full 10 minutes, so we may not get to everybody. Obviously, I didn't know we'd get this many.
Should I? I'll be the Blizzard guy and hold it. There you go.
10, 15, 15, 10, 10, 12, 15, something like that. All right.
Talk fast. All right.
Quick question for Greg. All right. In more detail than previously mentioned, how do you plan on helping new players who are bumped to 90 and are bombarded with tons of talents, skills, glyphs, etc.?
So if you take advantage of the boost, we are going to do something very similar to Scroll of Resurrection, but on steroids, even more so. So we're going to take away almost all of your abilities off your bar and just give you like the three or four you need to be able to, you know, kill some orcs to get started. And then every time you complete a quest, very similar to the Death Knight experience, you'll get a new ability. And we'll keep doing that until you have enough abilities to function, and then at some point we'll probably have to dump all the rest of them on you. All right. That's a great question. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Cool. We're better than the panel, man.
Sorry.
Right. All right, so on the Mystic level raids...
Mythic. I like it.
Will that item level be higher than the other item levels?
Yes, yeah. All there's four tiers, and the item level of the highest one is higher than the one right below it.
Cool.
So I was really happy to see you're taking steps on improving inventory space and getting less stuff in our bags. But right now, my void storage and inventory is mostly armor that I'm scared to death to get rid of because I might need it one day for transmog. Is there any plans at this time to do something for armor or transmog?
So this is it's very dicey to talk about because we actually do have a plan, but we're so scared of talking about it that then it will be like, where is it? You promised. Where is it? Where is it?
But where's the moose, by the way? Are we gonna...
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. But we totally, I think long term we'd love to turn it into a collection game where you save the set and not the actual item, and then even people who aren't interested in transmog then could participate in the, oh, I'm missing this shoulder from Serpent Shrine.
And but that's why I ninja'd it. Yeah. So.
But you could but you could still, in theory, have the set started. Say you've got the gloves, the pants, and the chest, but the other stuff comes later. But you could still kind of have this separated from everything in a thing.
Well, like
its own contained thing. Yeah, yep, I like that idea a lot. That's great.
My question is just what's the transportation thing going to be like? Are we going to be able to fly in the new zone? Or I'm good with it either way. It doesn't matter.
don't kill him.
Don't worry. We're not going to,
We want Draenor to feel scary. It has a lot of, like, if you remember Fellreavers walking around Outland. Yeah. We want giant Gronn, and if you saw the Bone Town, this huge skeleton of a giant that the Thunderlord orcs have built their houses in. And so those things will be walking around, too. We want it to be a dangerous place, and the world is much less dangerous if you just get on your bird and fly to the next spot. So we're going to delay it as long as possible. We've even talked about delaying it past level 100, like maybe patch 6.1 or something.
The winds of Draenor.
This is a question for Russell.
The trailer made it seem like there's going to be some dark and gritty places and some holy looking places. Do you feel like this might be your most diverse type of music album to come out? Between, because I love the music, that's one reason I get soundtracks.
There's a lot of
music.
Zone diversity we're seeing in what we've shown so far, what they've shown.
Well, I think anytime we get to expand on racial kids that we had no reason to before. I mean, we've seen Arakoa, but now we get to see their habitat and where they have their habits at. And
that should be on a t-shirt. That sounds great.
And
you may have a title for the episode, by the way, now.
Yeah. And it is so different. I think that was one thing that was very challenging with Northrend is that, with a few exceptions, things were variants of that kind of landscape. So I'd say the last time it was that cool in terms of diversity for us was probably before I was there on the Vanilla, and then to some extent on Cataclysm, because we that had the added hard part though of trying not to screw up the music people love and yet reflect the new sadness or hopelessness or tragedy that's struck the place.
Good one, thank you.
Ghost Crawler, why do you hate my class?
Okay. It's not your class, it's just you.
Oh, drop the mic, yeah.
Boom.
Seriously, though, super excited about the new character models. One thing that I've really enjoyed is transmog and all the different customization that you're putting in the game. Are you planning on putting any sort of like sub races in the future, like the Torn getting the Yongle or the Tonka, everything like that? It just, like I said, big fan of customization.
Yeah, definitely. I love it.
That's actually an idea we've talked about for a long time for just that reason. You know, we have like the Dark Iron. We even, if you want to get crazy, we have like the Iron Dwarves and things like that and Earthen. Some of them are easier to do than others. Some of them are actually different models with different textures, which are harder to switch out because they don't necessarily have all the animations of the base races. And then we'd also like to talk about if there are cool... Should we just like... open it up and give it to everyone, or should there be something, you know, do you have to earn it? Is there something special about being a Dark Iron Dwarf that's not the same as being a Wild Hammer Dwarf? But that idea has come up a lot.
Okay. All right, sorry if this one's been asked at another panel already, and I probably just missed it, but with a while back, Dream Paragon went from 25 to 10-man heroic rating because they were having trouble with recruitment. When you decided to make the change from the 25 and 10-man heroic to just 20-man mythic, did you bring in and consult with a lot of those top-level raid teams like Dream Paragon, like Method, Midwinter, Blood Legion? Did you talk with them about that and ask them whether they wanted that, how they thought it would affect them?
We didn't. Sometimes we bounce ideas off of players. In this case, we thought we had a really wide audience here, so let's just tell the player community at large and kind of gauge the reaction there.
Yeah, over the next couple of days, I'm sure you're going to hear plenty. good and bad, yeah. But there'll be no loss of information. Yeah.
That's a big mic.
Terpster's
thank you very much.
He's trying out again. He's the community guy now, so.
I just, any job's going really at the moment, right. Yeah. Or spare change, not fast really.
So with hidden expertise going by the wayside and everything, it's making, I guess, gearing and everything and gemming and reforging anymore, easier. So like with Death Knights, there's three ways we can be tanks or so. We can go hit an expertise cap and then the parry, well, not even parry anymore. My gosh. is there anything left there anymore? Are you guys making it easier, like where you don't have to go to those second, third websites saying, this is the best way to gem now and enchant, where you can just stay in-game and not even... I don't know.
I'm sure there will always be some aspect of min-maxing. Like, maybe theorycrafters determine that crit is a better stat for even Death Knight tanks than haste, and so you're going to have to make the decision if the haste gear drops, do you want it or not? But we are adding armor back as a stat on tanking gear, so that'll be something you'll have to play with and to replace dodge and parry.
And equally, we didn't talk about it earlier, but there's no more insulate plate, kind of. There's just plate sort of thing. Depending on your spec, it'll change. That primary stat will change. So I'm guessing for the most part, we don't need to have like 100 different sets in our bags, really.
Yeah, hopefully not. This will help. It'll, again, help to free up the inventory space a little bit.
Thank you.
Thanks.
With all the movement in the mobile space, got a lot with Hearthstone today.
Yeah.
A lot of the interfaces that we're seeing for these new features, starting with pets and going forward now, they look like mobile screens. They look like tablets. They look like phones. Any comment on any of that going forward? Is there any thought about that?
We've had a couple of features. Pet Battles was one, and then Garrisons are another, that seemed like they would lend themselves really well to a mobile version. I have no idea if we can pull it off or not, because any resources we spend on that will be fewer resources we're spending on the core game. I don't know that the UI, our UI designers are incredible. I don't know if they came up with those mock-ups with the idea of porting it in mind, or if they just, what we've learned as developers from working on mobile things just makes UI better across the board, maybe.
Awesome.
I got one real question, one quick one. In between every expansion, there are some pretty significant changes to the way the entire game is structured. Is there a hesitancy to make some of those large-scale changes mid-expansion? Has there ever been a really big change that you really wanted to do midway through, but just shelved until, you know, you announce at this BlizzCon? And then secondly, because we're going back in time, can we get a Scott Bakula character in Draenor?
He only has one
vote. That would be cool. Yeah.
He just says, oh boy. I did it wrong again. It's oh boy. Jeez. Get my quantum leap down.
No, we know it is very dangerous for us to make big changes, particularly in the middle of an expansion. We feel like players kind of accept that with a new expansion, there's going to be some rule changes. But doing something in the middle, we know, can be really off-putting. And we know a lot of players, now it's not one of the top reasons, but one of the reasons they quit is they can't keep up with the rate of change. They log back in, and then their friends are like, oh no, you need to change all your gear. That's not how you play your guy anymore. And they're like, well, I don't have time before this raid to relearn everything real quick. I guess I'm out. So it's we constantly say, well, we'd love to make that change, but this isn't the right time.
And the Scott Bakula?
Oh, that was the serious question. Gotcha. I had it backwards.
So my question is, in Myst, you had a set of five-man dungeons at the beginning of the expansion, but then you never released any more afterwards that I could recall.
Yeah.
Are you planning on, for 6.0, are you planning on, I know that you have all these new dungeons that you're going to give out with the expansion, in patches after that, are you going to give more dungeons out? Like, are you going to release more in further patches down the line?
That's certainly our plan. We love dungeons, and we want to make more of them. It was just, at the time of Myst, it was strictly a production concern, where we knew that we only had so many designers and so many artists, and putting them all on a raid probably in the long term gives players more to do than putting them all on a dungeon. Even two or three dungeons don't last as long. But we have grown, both the art team and the encounter team, dramatically since Myst, so our hope going forward is we'll be able to do both.
Safe.
Yeah, sure.
My second question is, are there any chance for hunters to get quivers back?
That was awesome. Chris Robinson, our art director, was hoping someone would ask that question up on stage. He even said, someone asked me about quivers, and nobody did.
Oh.
It was sad.
We saved it for the important meeting.
Yeah. Is the answer no? Please say that he just wanted... Just imagine him like a massive troll. No.
No, if you look at what the artists were able to do with the belt buckles I couldn't believe they were able to do something cool with a belt buckle, but a lot of the starting with the monk and then a lot of the tier armor had three-dimensional belt buckles. And since then, they've experimented with things like, what would a brace of knives look like on a rogue's thigh, for example? And then quivers are part of that, or being able to add additional geometry to the model. So it's something they're exploring. I don't know when it'll be in or if we'll be able to get it in for 6.0, but I know on the art side, it's something they're working on.
Cool. That's a good sign.
Also, Scott, I know we've got the Horde side
kind of
flip, yeah.
clip.
Yeah.
I just noticed we could get one of, Greg said we love dungeons. If we just go for Love Dungeons?
Love Dungeons.
Love Dungeons. Yeah. I'd like that. That'd be good. That'd be a good one.
Terpster runs a series of those.
That would be, I just like to, and I could have, you know, Greg announce them.
In Bristol, yes.
Scott, I just realized we've proven a point here that no females play WoW. As
oh,
nobody
goodness.
Stood
gracious,
up as
no
female
girls. What the
to
heck?
Ask a question. So we'd like to open it up for some females, just a couple of females to come up here and ask some questions.
And this is, again, we play Love Dungeons.
You know what else we forgot, or we learned, is how bad I am at giving CDs out. So we'll give these to the first 9 people. You'll help me with that?
Yeah,
okay.
We'll get you.
All right. I'm a giant idiot.
So my question is, with reforging going away, what's going to happen to the reforger that's on the yak that I bought? Can we get a transmog vendor instead?
Oh. That's one idea that came up, a transmog. There was, a couple others. I can't remember. And Brack got mad at me up on stage for starting to speculate. He's like, are you designing things at BlizzCon?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. The answer is yes.
Okay, thank you.
Great question.
Hello, I'm Aludra. I like pets, and I didn't hear anything about them. Aww. No, it's
did you
just,
hear
you
that one of the...
Bit, you put me in a little bit of a tight spot as I'm here to cover this for my podcast, and now I have nothing to report on. So,
isn't that Corey's job? Corey's supposed to be coughing up all the pet info.
Corey.
Yeah.
One of the buildings for the garrison is a pet stable.
Yes.
And part of what we want to do with that is have... You can designate some of your pets to be assigned to that stable, and you'll see them like in the world outside. Like
do
maybe
we
you'll
send
see
them on
that.
Missions.
How many? Because I have 547.
Well, probably not all at once.
Okay. I have to narrow it down.
You could pick favorites and just
yeah,
have
it's like children.
A few
just pick
a
favorite.
Yeah.
It's easy.
I only have two of those.
Yeah, but
Draenor is a harsh
thing,
world. They're not all going to make it.
I think that'd be good. I'd have a cat burglar. I'd send him to steal from other cats.
Of course.
It'd be great.
Brilliant idea.
So are we going to see, like, the pets in Outland? Are they going, the new pets that are in the old Outland, that's the new Outland, and now I have a headache, are they going to be, like, prettier versions of them? So it's like, with the mutating and brokenness of Outland, it changed the creatures, and it's kind of like the art is based on what we have and made them fluffy?
It's kind of the Primal Zerg question, isn't it?
That's a great example is, we're really trying to distinguish Draenor from Outland. And Outland has, like, in Draenor you won't see things like rock flayers or ravagers or mana worms. We all associate those with the portal opening and the influence of all of that stuff. So, Draenor is a primal world. We use examples like Conan or dinosaurs or the movie Avatar, where it's a violent world but also really beautiful, and primal is the primal, savage. Those are all the terms we use to describe it. So there'll be horrifying things, but they won't all be ugly and green.
Cool.
Why don't we just make Outland in black and white now?
That'd be cool. Film noir.
Down with that.
All right, thank you.
Good job, Aludra. We got one more? We got a few more. Oh, that way.
Okay, so I know AIE Guild is like a niche of specialized what problems we have.
Doesn't niche imply something small?
it's a notch. It's a,
yeah. Yeah. In regards to the news of bumping guild bank space to 100, the AIE Craft Fair team would like to say thank you, because that saves us so much problems with how many guild banks we need to have that event. So thank you guys
awesome.
For doing that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. Go that way. So we have it's interesting. We have this guild. We have a lot of guild problems that are not problems
that anyone else has.
Yeah.
And I know, but there's a lot of people it affects, though. It
well,
affects a lot of people.
I mean, when you guys
it's like
expanded
20% of WoW players.
Yeah, right? And when you guys limited the size of guilds, you know, we had a small canary. Everybody did in our guild because we weren't sure what to do, and we've worked around it. And Greenwall's been awesome, and we've been smart about it and everything. But how do you guys deal with that kind of stuff? Because I'm sure you have other exception guilds or groups or player groups or something that present unique problems to the way you guys build the game. Do you just ignore most of it? Do you just... I don't mean that in a negative way. Just ignore it. I mean, what can you do? Because you got to play for your biggest possible player base, right? You can't worry about one guild that just happens to have 7,000 people. It's not your fault.
I mean, that's true, but it's also a little bit of a dangerous attitude to say we're only going to, you know, cater to the largest percentage, because then we would just do like Raid Finder and cut all the other raid difficulties, which I don't think is the right thing for the game.
Absolutely not, yeah.
So it's hard. You got to keep. We try to keep everyone in mind, and not only is our player base large, but it's very, very diverse, and every decision we make is going to affect people in some ways, and some of them bad.
Hello.
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 Hello. Well, my question is, earlier on they were talking about how they're revamping the way that they're doing enchanting and jewel crafting, and I don't know, first of all, how is that going to affect the economy, and second of all, one thing that I missed back in the old days is when you used to be able to get like a really cool epic pattern for like rings and necklaces and things like that. And it seems like we haven't seen that in a while. So I was just wondering if that's ever going to make a return to the game.
It will definitely affect the economy. We're not entirely sure how yet or in what ways, but we do have plans to try to prop up those professions a little bit. We've talked about maybe enchanting needs to make some, you know, weapons or offhands or something like that, in addition to the enchants themselves, to kind of backfill for losing some of the, you know, the very vibrant gem economy that we have. I mean, the enchant economy that we have today. And same thing with gems. There's other things jewel crafters could make, you know, like the little crab trinkets and things like that they used to have. They don't all have to be just about making gems to socket.
More professions for everyone else. Dill just reminded me.
So I want to start by saying I'm my KOS went off like crazy in here when I first walked in because I'm Alliance.
Oh no!
And I play a human, and I hear a lot of questions about major content, but I actually have a question about something that maybe to a lot of people is small, and that's probably because I'm on an RP PvP server. The pre-Wrath patch broke the back leg of my horse that I ride, and the Cataclysm patch turned
all of the
chairs.
You got to shoot it, haven't you, if it does that?
What is that?
You got to shoot the horse if it breaks a leg.
I know. Yeah. Having grown up on a farm, that's exactly what we did.
I got dark. Sorry.
You got dark fast, didn't it? Yeah.
Sorry about that. And the cata patch turned all of the chairs like 90 degrees. Why don't you guys fix some of those little things? It seems like they're just small. Like, fix the
hold
back
on, the
leg.
Chairs all turn 90
that's
degrees?
A yeah, in
that's
spooky.
Like,
in Denver, like all of the...
I did not know that.
Yeah, I think your realm is like, haunted.
That's haunted, weird. Though. Why does stuff like that happen?
No idea.
You probably don't even know on that
see,
one.
But as an RPer to me, then I'm like, okay, Poltergeist, cool. Okay, I can work with this.
Event,
exactly,
right?
That's cool.
The real cataclysm was the chair reversing, I think.
Yeah.
We fix the demon children of Goldshire every patch.
Yeah, every patch. They get fixed.
And it just keeps coming back.
It's hard for, I think, players to get the visibility on the sheer number of bugs the game has. We don't like to go out and talk about, oh, this is a buggy game. But we do, I mean, we fix literally thousands of bugs every single patch, and most of them we don't even document. But unfortunately, it's the game is just so gigantic. There's so much going on, and we try to prioritize in terms of, like, how severe is the bug? Is it crashing your client, or is it something that's affecting a lot of people? And we tend to not ever kill bugs. They just get punted over and over and over again if it's not affecting a lot of people.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought.
Gnomes are bugs. You heard it here. Gnomes are bugs? I hear that right?
Just keep on.
Maybe I can get some kind of a gun to, you know, kill off my poor horse.
But that
or your chair.
There is a feedback tool though, isn't there? Still in the game support.
Yeah,
bit.
But there's only so many times that you can put feedback. Please fix my horse.
Please
fix my horse. I know you
and
by now.
And I know that it's not a major. I know that it's not a major issue. It's not crashing my game.
Yeah.
It's an aesthetic issue. So it just seems like there must be some little bit of code that you can put in there. Okay, turn the chairs 90 degrees back. You know, and like...
I like them that way. The feng shui, especially post-mist, much nicer.
I'm already traumatized by my horse needing to be shot.
Yeah.
My feng shui needs to be...
But at least the chair's facing in a way you can sit down easily. Yeah, and just...
Not much.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Greg would put that right on your to-do list.
Where were the chairs broken specifically?
Dunmarrow. All of the dwarven chairs.
All the dwarven chairs turned 90 degrees?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is bizarre.
I love it. I love that you don't know about this yet. I love it.
We're all going to go take.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be waiting for you.
That was brilliant. My favorite question of the day. Well done. And a big hand to all of you for participating. Thank you guys for your questions. That was awesome. I think this is the best panel of the day. Quite honestly, I really did.
Yeah.
So good job. Thank you very much. Another hand for yourselves. All right, we'll close things out. I want to thank you guys so much for coming. This is amazing to have you both here.
It's awesome.
Patrick, too, dude. Just sitting over there making sure nothing bad spills. It's awesome.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
Patrick, as far as I'm concerned, is always a member of the Instance family, and having him in here is amazing. Thank you.
I just sit here looking pretty.
Wait.
When are you going to start doing that?
Yeah, when does that begin?
I'm in PR, so I can answer you.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Soon.
Yeah. Soon. Yeah. Soon.
TM. Blizzard soon.
Yeah. When it's done.
Yeah.
You guys are great friends of the program, and it means a lot. So thank you, Greg, very much for being here. Thank you, Russell. Thank you guys so much. Want to thank, obviously, co-host Dills. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Always a blast. I can't imagine doing this with in any other way than having the team here, and it's great. It's so good to see Randy today and get the whole Instance family around, and it just feels good to be with all you guys. And Terpster, it's awesome. Thank you so much for continuing to do this
from the way over on the other side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The table.
For you guys mostly out here listening at home and that are here with us today, thank you guys so much. The Instance literally is nothing without you, so thank you so much. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Dills, and for Terpster. See you next time! Yay!
Horde side.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.